A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Titles appear. Netflix presents. Marc Dupontavis and Zee Lom present. A Zee Lom production. In co-production with Auvergne-Rhône-Alpes Cinema in association with Sophie TV Ciné 6 and Indie Film 7. With participation from the Auvergne-Rhône-Alpes region, with support from the Île-de-France region and the Réunion region in partnership with the CNC. In animation, a fly lands next to a screw and several small drops of blood. A larger pool of blood seeps into view. Based on the novel Happy Hand by Guillaume Leroux, the fly takes off. A young man with dark hair lies on the floor. The fly hops between the man and his broken, blood-stained glasses. Next to his glasses, a bloody, severed hand twitches, balled up in a fist. Adaptation and dialogue by Jeremy Clapon and Guillaume Laurent. He blinks slowly, his lips move weakly as the fly lands on his cheek. Hakim Faris, Victoire Dubois, Patrick Dasumsau. He turns toward the voice as a hefty older man enters. The fly takes off as the man approaches Naufel. In black and white, a fly darts against a window, then flies past a hand holding a microphone. The hand presses stop on a tape recorder. Original score by Dan Levy.
Daddy?
Yes, Naufel?
How do you catch a fly?
The father peers over a newspaper.
You have to aim at its side.
Come on.
You asked me. I'm telling you. It'll always be faster than you. If you aim for it, by the time you get to it, it'll be gone. Take it by surprise. Don't go for where it is, but for where it will be.
As the fly rests on a table, Naufel's hand closes in.
The trick is to wait until the fly rubs its legs together. And then you take it by surprise.
That can't work. The fly can see everything with its giant eyes.
That's true. But he can't see you coming from the side. Come on. Try again.
Your trick doesn't work.
I never said it was easy. You can't always win. C'est la vie.
The fly lands on a globe. As the shadow of Naufel's hand looms larger, it flies off. I Lost My Body, produced by Marc Dupont-Davis. A flash briefly illuminates a pitch-black space. A film by Jeremy Clapon. Another burst of light is quickly swallowed by darkness. A view through a plastic bag lunges out of the darkness and falls. Test tubes land nearby. A refrigerator stands open. Medical vials and bottles line the shelves, along with a heart, a jar of eyeballs, and another small organ. One of the eyes rolls out and onto the floor near the severed hand, now in a plastic bag. The fingers flex inside the bag, rolling the eye across the floor. The hand lands flat on the floor and sweeps side to side. Finding a shard of glass, the index finger taps it. Blood drips to the floor. The hand uses the glass to cut through the bag. The eye watches as the hand frees itself from its confines. The hand crawls forward, using its fingers to pull the palm and wrist across the floor. Nearby, several lockers stand against a wall next to a model skeleton. The eyeball sits against a cracked open door as a floor scrubber pushes in from the hallway outside. The hand tenses up, but the cleaner moves back into the hallway. The eye stares at the hand as it pushes up onto its fingertips. The hand slips, but then shuffles side to side like a crab. It bumps into a cart. A scalpel falls from the top shelf, narrowly missing the back of the hand. The hand stumbles, falling on its side. It shuffles back and forth, progressing to the door. Skittering outside, it finds a person writing on a chart by the door. The hand retreats. The hand turns toward the eyeball, then up at an open window by the lockers. It hops past the eye and toward the skeleton. The skeleton rattles as the hand uses its rib cage as a ladder. The fingers jab into the eye sockets, and the hand climbs to the top of the skull as the door opens. The eye rolls across the floor as a man enters and eyes the skeleton, which now bears a crooked grin. The hand dangles from the back of the skull as the man goes to the open fridge. The skull breaks off the neck and falls to the floor as the hand jumps to the lockers. As the man hurries over, the hand scurries out of sight. The hand turns toward the man. As he picks up the pieces of the skull, the hand's pinky pulls open a locker door and angles it toward the window. The fingers inch carefully along the top edge of the locker door. As the hand gets close to the window, it turns to see the top of the man's fedora moving closer. The hand dangles as the man moves toward the locker.
Ugh.
He finds the eyeball smashed under his shoe. As the man closes the locker, the window swings open. He looks out, unable to see the hand pressed against the brick outside. He shuts the window. The hand slides into a seated position with its palm on the ledge and its wrist against the wall. In the distance, a few lights shine in buildings through the hazy night sky. The hand tilts down toward a door in an alley, then back up. A large antenna on a neighboring rooftop shakes in the wind. The hand prepares, then springs through the air. It bounces off the antenna and falls. In a black and white flashback, a baby falls and catches itself with its small, pudgy hand. The baby's right hand makes handprints, reaches out and picks its owner's nose. Its fingertip touches the eye of a snail in the grass, then reaches toward roses. The thumb squeezes droplets of blood from a small prick in the index finger. As a clamshell rests on sand, the hand emerges from beneath it. Young Naufel looks out through his dark-rimmed glasses at the sand running off his palm. Nearby, his dad sleeps under an umbrella while a brunette looks out toward the sun. Naufel slowly turns his palm, dumping the rest of the sand to the ground. Now, the sun shines through the fingertips against a pale sky. A pigeon approaches, regarding the hand curiously. It rests in a gutter next to the bird's nest. The pigeon nips at a finger. The hand doesn't move. Using its head, the bird nudges the hand toward the edge of the gutter. The bird pauses as a few of the fingers now hang over the side. The pigeon ducks and lifts the wrist out of the gutter. As the pigeon tries to push the hand out, the fingers clutch the bird's neck. Its flapping wings crack the eggs inside the nest. The hand grips tightly, holding its neck over the edge as the bird flails along the gutter. The neck snaps and the hand tries to climb the pigeon's body back up to the roof. It only pulls the bird downward. The bird falls from the roof and the hand tumbles down behind it, landing hard in a dumpster.
Beep, beep.
In a flashback.
Now fell!
A hand places a toy astronaut on a model planet. As he removes his hand, the toy slowly tips over. Now hands glide across piano keys.
Mommy?
Watch your wrist.
She flattens his wrist and young Naufel resumes playing.
What?
It's just, I love playing the piano. I would love to give concerts, like you would do with your cello. Travel love you
What
with.
Your son is trying to tell you, darling, is that he wants to become an astronaut.
I don't want to be an astronaut.
Or was it a cosmonaut? I never know.
I want to be a pianist and an astronaut.
That's my boy.
Yeah, I want to be both.
My sweet little darling.
She kisses Naufel on the forehead. Later, Naufel sleeps, holding the toy astronaut under his right hand. Two figures step toward him. In a dream, an astronaut and an older version of himself holding sheet music stand against a starry sky and look down at him. A fly buzzes overhead, catching the gazes of musician Naufel and the astronaut. They look back down at sleeping Naufel as the fly lands on his middle finger. In another time, Naufel's dad takes a picture from behind a cake. As his mom claps, Naufel blows out birthday candles. Later, an open box for a portable cassette recorder sits atop torn wrapping paper. A tape begins to scroll inside the recorder as Naufel's hand presses a button, then grabs a microphone and headphones. Now he sits in his dad's lap. Naufel's dad holds a globe and they watch as it spins. Later, Naufel stands outside with the cassette recorder. He holds a microphone to a patch of foliage. Elsewhere, he rides a bike. His right fingers hover over the brake lever, then grip the handlebar. Naufel smiles as he picks up speed. At night, Naufel's right hand clutches a toy rocket. He spins, holding it against the starry sky. Now, his mom places a gentle hand on his back as he plays a cello. Later, Naufel's dad points at a spot on the globe. As he speaks, his small son holds up the microphone. His dad laughs and pushes the microphone away. He spins the globe slowly and gets up. Naufel remains on the floor and spins the globe faster as he watches his dad walk away. As the globe spins quickly around its axis, Naufel holds up his microphone. The countries of the world pass by dizzyingly as the globe spins. Now, trees pass by rapidly. Naufel holds up the microphone to an open car window as they race along the forested road. Inside the recorder, the cassette tape runs steadily. In the passenger seat, Naufel's mom looks into a compact mirror and applies lipstick. His dad glances toward Naufel and his microphone in the back seat. Later, a fly buzzes around the microphone, which lies on the pavement amidst shards of glass. Elsewhere, a fly lands on a cast on Nofel's right arm. Among mourners, he stands with the musician and the astronaut, all in slings, looking at two headstones in a cemetery. Now, a plane glides high across a clouded sky. Naufel steps across a tiled floor and drops a suitcase. He extends his hand, and an older boy reaches for a badge around Naufel's neck. He looks at Naufel with a blank expression. Now, Naufel stands on a moving walkway with a young man and a balding man. Later, in a car, the man and boy stare at Naufel, who sits in the back. Naufel looks down sadly as a fly crawls up his lap toward his right hand. His hand edges backwards as the fly approaches. Now in color, the older Naufel stands in a pizza parlor.
Naufel!
2, 3, 4, 5. We're at 6 this week. How is that possible? Late 6 times, and it's only Wednesday. That's 6 pizzas on the house! 2 pizzas per day!
Naufel wears a helmet.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, huh? Get a fucking watch, dammit!
Later, a mop handle swishes back and forth in Naufel's hands as he cleans the floor of the small shop. The sign outside reads Fast Pizza. Later, hand grips sway back and forth as Naufel rides glumly, gazing out a window. He leans against the window with his chin resting on his palm. He turns his head slightly as a row of shops passes by. Later, the bus pulls away from a stop and Naufel makes his way down a quiet side street. As he walks along, he sees 3 teenagers loitering outside. Naufel moves up a small set of steps and into an apartment building. He enters an apartment and closes the door softly as the balding man sits in front of the TV inside. Naufel edges around the man quietly.
Forgetting something?
Naufel stops in his tracks. The man mutes the television as Naufel picks up a jar from a nearby shelf. He opens it and drops some change inside. The man nods and clicks the remote control. Naufel steps through a beaded curtain into a short hallway and takes off his jacket and backpack. He opens a door to find a young woman thrusting on a bed.
Oh!
Oh, sorry. You could have left a note.
No. Wait, what are you doing, babe?
Come on, get off me!
Who cares? He doesn't mind.
A note on the door reads, I'm with Sandra, Ralph.
No.
The woman exits.
Hey! You can't leave me like this! Oh, look at that ass. Oh, you need a fucking poster? You moron.
Ralph slaps Naufel with his hat. Later, he sits smoking in bed and looks over at Naufel, sleeping on a mattress on the floor next to him. Now, the hand emerges from a pile of garbage in the dark. A strip of red light shines in. Loose rubbish fills the dumpster nearly to the brim. The hand climbs over the trash toward the light. Outside, a man in a neon vest approaches the dumpster, and the hand scurries backwards. The hand again crawls toward the light. It lifts the lid slightly to see the brake lights of a garbage truck. The hand peeks out as a man tosses a garbage bag inside the truck. Another garbage collector pulls hard on the dumpster, and the hand falls back inside. The lid rattles closed, and the hand crawls across the trash. The lid opens as the dumpster is turned upside down toward the truck. The hand falls inside and the garbage around it is crushed and pushed deeper into the truck. The truck's mechanism crushes the trash inside ruthlessly. The large compactor stops and lifts. Inside, the pigeon lies dead atop a can. As the truck begins to move, the can juts upward, nudging the bird off. The hand peeks out from beneath. 2 collectors stand on the back of the truck, gripping handrails. The hand crawls out from the garbage pile, using the can like a shell. The hand scurries to the edge of the quickly moving truck. A collector looks down just as the can falls and rattles down the street and onto a sidewalk. A passing skateboard nicks it, and old tomato sauce spurts out of the can. The hand balances unsteadily on its fingertips and staggers side to side. Looking ahead on the sidewalk, the hand begins crawling quickly toward a set of stairs leading down. A sign reads Metro. A boy gapes at the crawling can from a passing car. As the hand approaches the stairs, it descends out of view, then climbs back out. The hand ducks into the shadows as an inebriated man stumbles up the steps. The hand carefully peeks around the base of the banister as the man's eyes blink heavily. The man turns slowly to see the can bouncing down the stairs toward the subway station. A convex mirror shows the hand narrowly avoiding a couple and darting around a corner. Now, an escalator runs up steadily as the hand waits at the top. The hand hops over a cigarette butt and onto a step. Its fingers crawl determinedly to move faster than the steps as the hand makes its way down the escalator. The can bounces uncontrollably off the escalator and through the card scanner. It rolls across the platform toward a moving train. The train knocks the can down the tunnel as the hand barely hangs onto the platform, then falls to the ground. It backs away quickly from the rails. A rat peeks out from the shadows. Two rats step forward as the hand backs toward the rail. A train comes to a stop. The doors open and people shuffle on and off. One of the rats sniffs curiously at the extended index finger, wet with sauce. The rat licks the finger. Its beady eyes stare at the hand as it licks faster. It bites down on the finger and the hand retracts. The two rats charge from the shadows, snapping viciously at the hand. The hand tries to run, but a third rat heads it off. The hand grabs a rodent by the throat, but releases it as the other rats bite at its wrist. As the rats drag the hand out of view, it grabs a lighter. A flame ignites, and the rats cower. As its thumb holds down a switch, the hand backs away slowly. The rats inch closer to the glowing orange flame. The hand backs toward the rail as the train begins to leave. One rat pounces, knocking the lighter free. The hand springs between the rails. It grabs a low-hanging cable and speeds off with the train. Railroad ties pass in a blur as the train glides along its track. The polished silver wheels of the train spin gracefully along the smooth underground rails. Tunnel lights pass by overhead, then give way to sunlight as the train emerges. Now, the train passes under streetlights and a dull yellow sky. A right hand holds a handlebar as the vehicle drifts along the road. A stack of pizza boxes rattle around inside a container. The hand grips tightly as the motorbike speeds along the street, bumping a parked car's side mirror. Now Fell waves but doesn't slow down. Elsewhere, the severed hand grips onto a chain-link fence. As the hand climbs down the fence, a tall building next to a large crane stands in the distance. Now Fell removes a pizza box and hands it to a customer. The hand, meanwhile, runs through a thicket lit only by the moon. Now Fell delivers another pizza box, hops on his motorbike, and takes off. Elsewhere, the hand scurries between two bugs onto a dark, empty playground. On the ground, a toy car sits on its roof. A fly moves around inside the car. The hand slowly approaches the car, and the fly moves toward the hand. The fly flutters its wings and inches toward the fingertips before flying away. Now Fell's delivery bike skids and fishtails. His back tire slams into a car, and pizza boxes fly through the air. The driver rolls down a window as Now Fell rubs his neck. The driver straightens his car's mirror.
You okay?
Yeah.
He looks down.
Shit.
He finds his bike damaged.
Hey, wait!
The car speeds off as Nofel raises his arm. He looks down at the pizza boxes on the ground and packs them up.
Fuck. Damn it!
He packs them up angrily and kicks the bike to life. Nofel turns the now wobbly handlebars and rides away. Later, rain falls as Nofel stands at an intercom in a lobby.
Yes?
Fast pizza.
He turns from the intercom and trudges toward glass double doors.
Can you open the door?
Aren't you forgetting something? Usually people apologize when they're late.
Yeah, sorry, I got a little held up.
Or say hello, that's the least you could do.
I said hello. Hello, fast pizza here. I always say the same thing.
No, you only said fast pizza.
He pushes his glasses up on his face.
So what now? Are you gonna let me in or not?
I could be a pain and, I don't know, insist on getting the pizza for free. According to your flyer in my hand, pizza's free after 20 minutes. That's your concept, right?
Am I 20 minutes late?
40.
He hangs his head.
So what do we do?
Your call, Mrs. Martinez.
It's Miss. And Martinez is not my name. She was the former tenant. My super was supposed to change the nameplate, but didn't. So for deliveries, anyways, who cares? I'll open the door, but frankly, I'm pissed. 35th floor, on the right when you get out of the elevator.
Thank you, Miss.
Now Fel pulls on the door, but it doesn't open.
You have to wait for the buzzer to stop or it'll jam the lock.
He pulls harder to no avail.
Still not working?
Still not working.
You sure you waited for the buzzer to stop? Don't push before it stops.
I know, you already told me. Could you come down and get it?
Can we try one more time?
Okay.
You ready?
I've been ready for 20 minutes. Go ahead.
Outside, the rain comes down harder. Drops streak down the windows as Naufel leans against the wall.
Now it's official. You are not getting a tip. Don't move. I'll just grab a sweater.
He looks down and opens the pizza box in his hand. He closes the lid and rings the buzzer again.
Give me a second. I'll be right there.
Don't bother.
Why is that?
I'm afraid the pizza and I were in a small accident. It doesn't look too good.
How bad was it?
It looks like a pizza. Topped with the chewed up remains of another pizza.
No, I meant the accident. You didn't get hurt, right?
He looks at the speaker.
Me? No, I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
You should switch jobs. Delivery is just not your thing, you know?
I know. My boss keeps telling me that.
You should listen to him.
Yeah. Well, you should just reorder it. Just tell them what happened. They're used to it. Good night.
Naufel walks back toward the entrance, while outside, his bike gets soaked in the rain. He sits in the lobby, eating a slice of the mangled pizza.
Are you still there?
A topping spills on his lap.
Oh, shit.
He lifts a glass bottle from the floor.
Shitty evening, right?
Naufel glances to the intercom, then looks outside. He stands, opens the door, and looks up.
35th floor, right? Even from down here, it gives you vertigo.
Is that my pizza you're eating? Is it any good?
The extra onions was a poor choice.
Unbelievable.
Naufel pushes the pizza box into a trash can and stares out the window.
What do you see from up there?
I can see your scooter. It looks a little sad.
When you look straight ahead, what do you see?
Nothing. Nothing vertical, only the horizon.
Must be very comforting.
What? What did you say? I couldn't hear you.
I said it must be comforting to be cut off from the world like that.
Rainfall reflects in his glasses.
To see nothing. To hear nothing.
He closes his eyes and sees only darkness.
Can you hear the rain?
Rain doesn't make any noise. At least not up here. It just passes through. I do hear the wind, though.
He opens his eyes.
When it blows through the high-rises, it howls.
He moves to the intercom.
It feels like I'm on an ice floe in the middle of a storm, sheltered in my igloo.
An old woman enters.
And when it blows really hard, when there's a lot of wind, I can feel the building swaying. I don't know. It feels like...
like the whole world is drunk.
Gabrielle?
Oh, good evening, Mrs. Lusek.
Oh, I don't know what I was doing, but I went out
and... You forgot your keys, right?
That's right, sweetheart. So, if you don't mind...
Of course. The door is stuck, but I'll try.
Oh, thank you very much. And tomorrow, I promise I'll bring back your books. I haven't forgotten.
Oh, there's no rush.
Naufel takes a drink, then wipes his mouth with his sleeve.
So you don't wait for the buzzer to stop? Do you lend books often?
On weekdays. I work in a library. You should go for it. It won't last.
Go for what?
The rain. It stopped.
He turns toward the window. Outside, rain no longer falls.
I'll go home then.
He tries to kickstart his bike.
Otherwise, you might be stuck here all night.
That would be silly.
Goodbye, Mr. Delivery Man.
He walks it down the road.
Goodbye, Miss Martinez.
Elsewhere, cattails reach toward the foggy night sky. A swan glides by as the severed hand walks on its knuckles along the water's edge. The hand seems to watch as the swan moves gracefully down the stream. As it moves underneath a quaint bridge, rain begins to fall. The hand sits on its knuckles at the water's edge. Elsewhere, a finger moves along a foggy window. It draws a semicircle with a square at one end, then two fingers shade in the body of a car, leaving spaces for the windshields. Now Fell stands at the window, watching as the morning sun pierces his drawing. He turns to see Ralph still sleeping under a wall full of posters. The wall on Naufel's side of the room stands barren. Now, the hand sits under the bridge amongst sparse vegetation as the rain falls. The building and crane stand in the distance.
Hello, may I speak with Gabrielle, please?
In a bathroom.
Oh, all right, thanks, bye.
Naufel sits on the toilet with a phone and phone book on his lap.
Hello, hi. May I speak with Gabrielle, please? Gabrielle. Oh, no, sorry. Wrong number. Goodbye.
He holds the receiver with his shoulder. The doorknob turns.
Hurry up. I gotta take a dump.
He's busy.
What the fuck is he doing with the phone?
Hello?
Yes. Hello, may I speak with Gabrielle, please?
Are you fucking with me? Get the fuck out!
Are you talking to me?
Come on!
Gabrielle?
Yes?
It's... What?
So, are you coming out now?
Now Fell looks at the receiver in his hand, then opens the door. Ralph stands, holding the phone cable. He shoulder bumps Now Fell into the wall as they pass. Now an ant crawls across a newspaper. It pauses and looks up. The ant sniffs at a fingernail, which pushes the ant on its back. Two more ants fall on their backs, while an army of ants crawls on top of the hand. The fingers extend, and one ant bites at a mole between the index and middle fingers. The hand springs from its newspaper shelter. It rolls down an embankment and onto a frozen stream. It crawls up a small branch protruding from the water. The ice cracks and the hand plunges below. By closing its fingers in unison, the hand swims to the frozen surface. The current pushes the hand quickly as it tries to punch up through the ice. The hand grabs a stick, plunges it into the riverbed, and vaults up toward a tennis ball floating in a hole in the ice. The ball rolls around in its fingers. As the hand gets a firm grip, it begins to sink. A dog's legs jump into the water.
Edison!
The dog dips its mouth into the water, taking the hand and ball with it.
Ah, that's it. That's a good boy. That's my good boy. Come on.
The dog looks happily up at its owner, who picks up a guide cane as they walk off. Elsewhere, a hand holding a pen fills out a crossword puzzle. At a desk, a bespectacled woman studies the puzzle. She turns and her eyes narrow as Naufel approaches.
Hello.
She looks back down at her puzzle.
Excuse me, is Gabrielle around?
The woman eyes an empty chair.
What's it about?
It's personal.
That's what I thought. Who's asking?
It's a surprise.
She uses a PA.
Gabrielle.
No, it's fine. I'll manage. I'll be fine. Thanks a lot. Excuse me. Where's the bathroom?
Later, he washes his hands.
Gabrielle? 35th floor. Out of the elevator on the right. It's me, Naufel, that's me. I'm the delivery guy. Hello, Fast Pizza here. We talked over the intercom. I had no idea you worked in this library. That's a crazy
coincidence. She just left. With those neon things over her ears, you can't miss her.
Rushing outside, Naufel bumps into a man and passes a sign that reads Guy de Maupassant Library. Later, a woman with bobbed hair wearing bright neon headphones stands on a platform. A train comes to a stop as Naufel moves down an escalator. Later, Gabrielle sits alone in a seat by a window. A man approaches and sits down next to her. Naufel watches through the window of another train car. He stands, looking down dejectedly. His eyes drift over to the other car. He watches as Gabrielle rubs the back of her neck and looks out the window. Naufel holds his soft gaze determinedly as he looks at the young woman. The train moves quickly across a bridge over an intersection. Naufel stands with his right hand in his pocket as the train comes to a stop. He walks to the door as he sees Gabrielle getting off the train. He stands at the open door, watching her walk through a busy station. Naufel blinks and turns back toward his spot. He takes a seat and pushes his glasses up on his face. He springs up and runs through the closing door. He sprints down concrete steps and onto a sidewalk. As Naufel gets to the street, Gabrielle disappears through a large entryway. He follows her, moving through the entryway to reveal a cobblestone courtyard and several small buildings. An older woman sweeps by a set of stairs. Naufel looks to his right and all around to see no one but the woman sweeping. He moves forward toward a window next to a bulletin board. Naufel cups his hands around his eyes to look inside. Inside, he sees a dusty workshop. Wood and tools lie scattered about the dim room.
Hello there.
Gabrielle appears holding a cat.
Hi.
Gigi.
Hello? Can I help you?
A hefty older man steps out. Naufel looks to the board.
Actually, I'm here because of the ad. Are you still looking for an apprentice?
Which ad?
Oh, that's been there for a while. It's old. Sorry.
Oh.
Here, your meds.
You're leaving?
I need to get my scooter. The garage is going to close. Oh, excuse me.
Sorry.
See you tomorrow, Gigi.
See you tomorrow, sweetheart.
Naufel turns and watches Gabrielle as she walks off. He looks down at the ad in his hand and follows Gigi into the workshop.
Hire me. Hire me. You won't regret it, I promise.
Watch out. That ad's 10 years old. I haven't taken an apprentice in...
Take me on probation. What's there to lose?
Time. A lot of work to teach an apprentice. It takes time. I'm too old for that now.
Exactly. I can ease your burden. I'm young.
Ease
I'm dynamic.
Ease my burden? What burden?
Well, look at your workshop. It's a total mess. You could use a hand around here, you know?
You have any qualifications?
Of course. Loads of qualifications. Qualifications
talking about
for a lot
training
of things,
here. Like... Experience. Worked with wood before? Tanning, cutting, sanding, trimming, ring any bells?
I'm a fast
learner. What did you do before you showed up here? Are your parents in the picture?
Naufel looks down.
They're dead.
They're dead. Why do you want this job?
He turns to face Naufel.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Naufel sets the ad on a table and heads for the door.
And I'm sorry about that.
No big deal. Easy fix.
Gigi glances down.
Do you have a light?
Naufel pauses.
No, of course not.
Gigi walks toward him.
You'll get bored. Not much going on here. On the other hand, it is true that it's a mess all over the place. It is a big workshop, and I...
He steps in closer.
So, what's your name?
Naufel.
Gigi picks up a brush and a small paint can.
There's a room up there in the attic for the apprentices. It's quite Spartan, but better than nothing. Monday, 8 o'clock, Naufel.
He brushes red paint over Naufel's handprint. Elsewhere, the large dog sleeps. The hand tries to back itself out of the canine's mouth. The hand frees itself without waking the dog. As it scampers away, the blind man's foot nearly crushes it as he walks across the room. The hand moves into another room. It sees a door with a deadbolt locked high on the frame. Now it crawls cautiously back into the living room. The dog sleeps on the floor while the man, slim and bearded, sits at a piano. The hand approaches, walking on its fingertips. It stops briefly as the man continues to play. Now the hand crawls carefully along the lid of the upright piano. The hand moves out past a glass as the man's fingers move gracefully along the keys. The hand sits on its palm, dangling its fingers off the edge of the lid. Now in black and white, a smaller hand with a mole between two fingers plays a piano. The severed hand sits atop a grand piano as a young Naufel wearing dress clothes plays. He glances softly at the hand, then back down at the keys. The tails of his tuxedo hang off the bench as he plays under a lone spotlight. Back in his room alone, Naufel leans against the door gloomily. Now he opens a closet. He reaches inside and pulls down his suitcase. Naufel flips it open to find his cassette recorder and a photograph of his parents. Sitting on the bed, he examines the photo briefly and puts it back. Naufel pulls out a box and sets it on his lap. He takes the lid off to reveal several cassette tapes and a gold watch inside. He takes out the watch and begins to wind it. With the watch pressed to his ear, he listens as the second hand moves around the dial. His hand slides across the row of cassette tape cases. He stops on one labeled with a red dot. Now, the hand sits on the man's piano. The man reaches for his glass on the lid, but he grabs the severed wrist.
Ah! What the?
The hand tumbles to the floor.
Damn rats! Edison! Fetch!
The hand scurries under a couch. The guide stick slides in, jabbing at it.
Come on, get it!
The hand runs toward a vent.
Get him! Yes, get him, boy! Get him! Get him!
It climbs over the broken cover and scampers away.
I found a job and a place to stay.
With his foster father.
It's a great opportunity. I think I'm going to take it.
The older man polishes a bottle holding a model ship.
Actually, I said yes already.
The man sprays cleaner onto the bottle as Naufel stands behind him.
So, thank you for taking me in and for everything.
Naufel walks through the doorway beads, his foster father never looking away from his work. Now the hand crawls on its fingertips through a narrow air duct. It climbs up to a vent mounted high on a wall. Below, clothes hang on racks over a tub. A woman stands and exits.
Hey. No, you're the boss.
It slides the vent open.
I don't know, wrong age.
It climbs out.
I don't know, what about you?
A baby lies in the bathtub below. Clothes fall as the hand climbs over the lines.
Yes, I'll tell you later. Later, I said. There's nothing.
The woman comes in and rehangs a sock.
You're so childish. I didn't even... Yeah. Yeah, sure.
She lifts the baby from the tub.
Okay, well, I gotta go. Sure. See you at 8?
The baby watches the hand as they leave the room.
Sure. Ciao.
The woman turns off the light and the hand climbs down toward the bathtub. It pauses on the ledge. The hand submerges itself in the water, falling to the bottom on its back. It relaxes its fingers as a fish-shaped thermometer floats on the surface. Elsewhere, Naufel holds a suitcase and places a set of keys on a desk. He moves forward, inspecting a Spartan living space. Light from a skylight shines inside and a bed sits in the corner. He steps on a loose floor tile.
Naufel!
As he turns, he bumps a low beam. He opens the skylight and looks down.
Come down!
I'll be right there!
Watch out for the beam!
Naufel smirks. He looks ahead and notices the tall building next to the construction crane. Later...
Before I give you some wood to trim, you'll need to know some basics about the tools. And learn how to use them.
Gigi and Naufel stand outside. Gigi climbs into a van and grabs a large beam.
Ready? Lift. 1, 2, 3! So, you have tools, accessories, and instruments, and the cat. The tool is what mankind uses to transform material. Let's put it over here.
They carry it inside to a pile of wood.
And lift!
They lift and heave it onto the pile.
My workbench.
Gigi gestures across the room.
That's an accessory. Doesn't transform the material. I use it to clamp, to tighten, to carry, to support. Then you have all the instruments. Compass, square, ruler, everything that helps us measure and draw. Your working drawing is the most important step. After that, it's easy. You just follow the layout. Anybody can do this.
Good work starts with a good working drawing.
What's a working drawing?
Naufel stops cutting with a bandsaw as Gigi doubles over. Naufel holds up his circular cutout as Gabrielle takes her helmet off at the door. She looks at them curiously. Later in an office.
What's he doing here?
He's helping me.
Helping you? Helping you what? Stop working? You don't even know him.
He was at a loss.
So what?
Naufel looks around the workshop, running a finger along tools mounted on the wall. He trips on a beam and falls against several pieces of lumber, knocking them to the floor. Gabrielle looks out from the office as Gigi moves to answer the phone. Naufel holds his finger and looks up at her.
Hello?
Later, she pulls splinters from his finger.
So you sure you want to become a carpenter?
Yeah, I had a revelation. Love at first sight.
For wood? What were you doing before?
A delivery. Sushi. What about you?
Her tweezers pinch his fingertip.
And not a nurse, that's for sure. So what do you do?
Careful, this will sting.
She pours alcohol onto gauze.
I work in a library.
Really? Cool. Cool, cool. Can I drop by some time?
To borrow books?
Yeah, sure. Oh, I see. I work with my hands, so obviously I can't be interested in books, right?
Apparently your hands aren't your strong
suit. Can I get my wounded soldier back? Gotta see a client.
He eyes his now bandaged finger.
Here you go.
Thank you.
He flicks a bow at the end of the gauze bandage. Gabrielle smirks. Later, a plate of hot dogs and beans rotates in a microwave. Naufel opens the door and removes the steaming plate. He sets it on a desk next to an open woodworking book. Naufel leans over the plate as he reads. He takes a bite and flips a page. His eyes drift up toward the open skylight. He takes another bite and straightens. Golden light filters into the room as he walks over to the window. He ducks below the low beam and looks out. Now his shadow sweeps over a vent pipe on the roof. Naufel walks along the slanted rooftop and pauses. He steps off a ledge, then climbs down an embedded ladder. He clambers up the workshop's roof, balancing along the edge by the gutters. Naufel moves along the roof and around a corner. He ducks carefully under a few support beams and reaches the edge of the building. He looks out over an alley cluttered with industrial equipment toward the tall building. Naufel drops a plank between the buildings and tiptoes across it. He climbs through a window into the tall, dilapidated building. Inside, barrels and trash lie scattered around an open room. Later, he climbs the metal steps of the building's internal stairwell. A rooftop door opens and Naufel steps out. The red construction crane looms overhead as Naufel walks across the roof. He moves to the edge of the roof, looking out past the crane. In the distance, the sun sits low in the sky, hanging over the buildings at the horizon. Elsewhere, a mobile spins gently over a crib. The hand inches forward from the edge of the baby's room toward the crib. As the hand moves closer, the baby turns over, struggling to keep its eyes open. The hand climbs up the crib, and the baby gently grabs the index finger. A pacifier falls from the baby's mouth, and the hand drops to the floor. The baby rolls to its back. The hand crawls over its belly and places the pacifier in the baby's mouth. The baby touches the hand, then drifts off back to sleep. The hand rests on the baby's chest. As the baby sleeps, the hand rises and falls with its deep breaths. The hand turns, moving to the baby's side. It puts its index finger into the baby's palm. The baby grips it gently in its sleep. Elsewhere, a barcode reader scans books with polar bears and igloos on the covers.
Planning an expedition to the North Pole?
Why not? Horizon as far as the eye can see. The light is so beautiful.
He points at an open book.
Polar bears? What? You don't like polar bears?
Sure, everybody does. It's like dolphins or kittens. They're kind of cute. It's just... there's nothing there.
She looks at a photo.
When will you ever see anything like that in your life? We'll never go here. We'll never see that. Except in a book.
Just close your eyes. And put your hands over your ears, like this. Press your ears a little. One after the other. Very softly. Like this. If you do it well, it sounds like you're walking in the snow.
The bespectacled librarian pointedly pushes the PA button and gestures to the line of people behind Naufel.
Here you go. Return them before the end of the month. Otherwise, you'll have to deal with the control tower over there.
See you soon, then.
Sure. Hello.
Hello.
Gabrielle scans a book from the next woman in line. She pushes a hand to her ear softly and smiles. Later, a book lies open, showing an igloo sitting beneath a rosy sky. It rests on a workbench where Naufel spreads out a large sheet of drafting paper. He eats a fry from a to-go box, then places a compass on the paper. Now he runs a pencil along a piece of wood and saws carefully along the drawn line. Carefully drawn plans cover the table. Outside at night, a bundle of curved beams rises along the vacant building with the help of a rope and pulley. On the roof, Naufel draws a large circle using a piece of chalk tied to a string anchored at the center. He sets curved beams along the base of the circle, then raises and connects rounded support joists to a brace in the center. The crane looms overhead, set against a clear, starry sky. Inside, the windows of the vacant floor show the sun rising and moving across the sky quickly. An empty plate of food sits on the roof. Birds nibble at the crumbs as the sun rises and falls. Inside the warmly lit workshop, Naufel runs a board through a table saw. As the sun rises, he inspects his nearly complete structure on the rooftop. At the library, Gabrielle shelves books. Meanwhile, on the roof, Naufel carefully hammers boards into place. As Gabrielle places another book on the shelf, her eyes linger on the spine. On the roof, Naufel seats a final panel on his structure. Now, Gabrielle's eyes drift along the shelf, studying the books on a particular row. Naufel appears in the library, walking between the shelves and looking down each aisle. Gabrielle rounds a corner. She sees him and takes off her headphones.
Here.
He holds up a miniature.
As an apology, I'm late.
Thanks, and that's...
A bear.
The other librarian glares at them.
A bear, Gary. You said everybody likes bears. I made it with some scrap wood.
But did we have a date?
A date? Ah, no. No, I came to bring them, but...
It's fine. They're not in high demand.
He hands her his books.
I have something for you, too. A real book. The World According to Garp. It's one of my favorites.
Naufel turns the book over in his hands and raises his brow.
So, I gotta go now.
Oh, me too. Your uncle's waiting for me in the truck.
Gabrielle rolls her cart of books away. Naufel looks at the book in his hand as he turns. Elsewhere, a plane flies through a starry twilight sky. A clothes hanger zips along a wire. The hand holds on tightly, then drops to a roof as the hanger reaches the end of the line. It raises up on its fingertips, then slides down a small ramp. It climbs up and into an opening, following a length of pipe. As the hand moves along a shadowy corridor, the vacant building and construction crane stand in the dusky distance ahead. The hand approaches an opening, but stops as a large figure with a paint roller blocks the path. The hooded figure turns, showing a pigeon's face. The masked figure walks away. His tattooed hand sprays an uneven white line of paint down a row of debris along the building. The can drops to the ground as the graffiti artist climbs down a ledge. The hand inches out of hiding, carefully staying in the shadows. Now, woodworking supplies jostle in the back of the work van. Naufel drives, bobbing his head and turning the wheel in time with the music. The van swerves left and right down a narrow avenue. His hand taps on the steering wheel, highlighting the mole between his fingers. As he starts a turn, Naufel hits the brakes. A blue car blocks the entryway to the workshop. Naufel pushes a box along the car's roof as he shimmies past irritably. Ahead, a hand lights a cigarette.
Hey, what are you doing here?
We're just getting acquainted. You didn't introduce me. Are you shaming me or something?
Ralph, Gabrielle, Gabrielle, Ralph. What do you want?
Gabrielle smokes as Ralph drinks coffee.
All right. All good things must come to an end. told you family makes him uncomfortable. Hey, Gigi, thanks for the coffee. Mademoiselle?
See ya.
Ralph mimes giving a blowjob as he passes.
You prick.
Good to see you too.
He drums on the hood of the car.
Count on you guys tonight.
Ralph gets inside.
She's throwing a party.
Party?
I said yes, but we don't have to go.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good idea. You'll pick me up in your scooter?
Okay.
Careful with my niece, Nofel.
What? You must be joking. She was the one who suggested it.
Nofel carries the box inside. Gabrielle smiles and takes a drag. At night, the courtyard outside the workshop sits in almost total darkness. A light appears as a scooter drives through the entryway. A hand revs the throttle as Gabrielle looks up toward Naufel's loft. She turns her head and narrows her eyes. Gabrielle shines the headlight on Naufel sitting on a ledge next to a ladder.
Come.
Moments later, they walk on the roof and underneath support beams.
This better be worth it.
She crawls anxiously across the plank between buildings. Later, Gabrielle watches Naufel curiously as they walk up the stairwell. As he arrives at the rooftop door, Naufel takes out a winter cap and puts it on. He tilts his head toward the roof and steps outside. Gabrielle looks out uncertainly. She pulls up the hood of her jacket before stepping out. Naufel opens a beer.
So, what do you think?
They face a wooden, full-sized igloo sitting on the roof.
It's an igloo.
Gabrielle steps forward with a blank expression, her eyes locked on Naufel's creation. She knocks on the side, then crouches at the entrance and casts a shadow on the back wall. As she looks inside, Naufel crouches beside her.
Do you like it?
Did you build this?
Her eyes drift around the interior curiously. Above, birds rest on the construction crane. Gabrielle and Naufel sit on the roof's edge.
Do you believe in fate?
She faces him.
No, seriously.
Like everything is defined in advance? And we just follow that path?
Yeah.
And that you couldn't change a thing?
We think we can, but it's an illusion. Unless we do something completely unpredictable and irrational. It's the only way to counter fate, for good.
She smokes a cigarette.
Something like what?
Something, it could be, I don't know, anything. Say you're walking peacefully. You pretend to go one way. But you fake it and you go the other way. You deviate.
He demonstrates with his fingers.
And boom, you jump on that crane. Something that you would never do. You shouldn't have done it. But you did it because it was right. It got you somewhere else. And you don't regret it. Something like that.
And then what? And once you fool destiny, then what?
And then you... You don't let it catch up to you. You barrel through. And cross your fingers.
She takes a drink.
What?
Sorry.
What?
You hungry?
I ordered a pizza.
They sit serenely, Naufel's igloo in the clear night sky behind them. Now, the hand sits partially hidden behind a round pipe. In front of it, the graffiti artist uses his long roller to paint along the edge of the roof. Just past the man, the crane looms over the surrounding buildings. The artist picks up a duffel bag and walks off. The hand crawls past him. Cars zoom along a freeway below the building. The hand backs away and looks out. A barge drifts down a river, cutting between the rooftop and the crane. Along the side of the roof, fresh graffiti reads, "I am here." Elsewhere, Naufel sets down a pizza box. He pulls out a pencil and a sticky note. Gabrielle sits in the igloo.
It's probably cold by now.
Just give me a minute.
You should have ordered sushi. Don't you get a discount from your old job?
It's not just any pizza.
What did you order?
He comes inside and sits across from her. He slides the box over with a sticky note on top.
Neapolitan pizza, extra onions, Mrs. Martinez.
He watches her expectantly.
It's me. The delivery guy. Fast pizza. That was your order, right?
She looks down.
I always follow my job through. You know that.
He holds out two fingers like a gun.
It's in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah, I know that.
Really? I love that movie. It's my favorite. Van Cleef is the top.
Gabrielle gets up and leaves. Now Fel closes the pizza box and follows her.
What are you doing?
What a lousy plan.
What plan? It's not a plan.
All that bullshit so you can bang the girl in the igloo? Is that it?
What? Of course not. Who do you think I am?
She stands with her back to him.
When we spoke on the intercom, I wanted to meet you. I found out where you worked. I ended up following you. It's a simple story. I just complicated it a little. That's all. You listening?
She picks up a backpack.
Yeah.
What was I supposed to do? Tell me. Hey, hi, it's me, the delivery guy, the guy who can't even open a door. Let's have a drink. Would that have worked? I took that job so I could see you again. You have to admit, it's quite chivalrous, right?
My uncle. Did you think about my uncle? When are you going to tell him that you don't give a shit about him or his job?
I love this job. Look what I built.
He's sick. You didn't notice that?
No, he's just a little old, that's all.
Asshole.
What's wrong with him? Is it bad?
She slams the stairwell door, leaving Naufel standing alone on the roof. Moments later, he beats the side of the igloo with a piece of wood. Inside, the pizza box sits under a lantern. Naufel stands at the edge of the roof and looks down at two empty beer bottles. He picks one up, using it to nudge the other one off the building. Elsewhere, a roof ventilator spins rapidly in the wind. A droplet of white paint ripples and shakes on the roof. A bead of paint escapes, running along the roof and between the fingers of the severed hand as it sits on the edge. The bead of paint flies toward the traffic below, where an astronaut stands on an overhanging freeway sign holding a white flag. The hand sits with its palm on the ledge and its fingers holding the side as the astronaut turns away from the hand. The construction crane in the distance reflects in the astronaut's helmet. Now the hand holds a closed umbrella, blowing back and forth along the edge. It grips the handle tightly as the wind gusts. The astronaut watches from below as the umbrella opens. The wind blows, pulling the umbrella away. The fingertips slide along the roof's edge as the hand tries to hang on. The umbrella points down and pulls the hand from the building. As it floats down toward the busy freeway below, the fingertips climb up the base of the handle. As the hand climbs up the umbrella, a taxi hits the handle, then another car slams into the hand. The hand retains its grip as the umbrella spins wildly in the air at car level. The headlights of the cars spin by dizzyingly as they transition into stars in deep space. The hand hangs on as the umbrella floats through space. The astronaut stands on a floating rock nearby. He turns slowly as the white flag ripples in the breeze. Now, headlights on the freeway close in on the hand. The umbrella spins along the side of a trailer as its truck passes toward a tunnel. The spin sends the umbrella high into the air, and the astronaut gives a salute. The umbrella floats smoothly across the sky toward the crane and the tall, vacant building, the hand holding the handle tight. Elsewhere, red light glows from a crowded apartment. Inside, people smoke and drink. Ralph points, then takes a drag from a cigarette. He turns, looking around at his party guests. Nearby, a hand pours whiskey into a cup. Now Fel looks into the cup, then takes a drink. Ralph puts an arm around him.
Hey, where's your girl?
She's not my girl. She's nothing.
Ralph brushes his lips.
Fuck off. Get off me, man.
Now Fel looks down angrily, then pours out more whiskey from the bottle. Ralph stamps out his cigarette, then swipes Naufel's cup and downs it.
Get lost!
Sarah!
Dickhead!
As Ralph walks away, Naufel picks up the bottle and sets it down. He stands and grabs another liquor bottle. As he turns, someone takes his seat.
Excuse me, I was sitting there.
Why you busting my balls? There's a stool right there.
He glances over to an empty stool, then looks at the man bitterly. Naufel sets the liquor bottle down and takes a seat. Elsewhere, the tattered umbrella floats against a hazy night sky. The umbrella begins its descent. It casts a shadow along the crane as it passes. The hand and umbrella float gently toward the building. At the party, Naufel taps a man on the shoulder.
Actually, that's my drink. I just left for a second. I was sitting here. That's my soul.
Oh, that's your drink?
Yeah.
You should have said so.
As the man spits into the cup, Naufel slams his head into the bar. Naufel pushes him to the ground and swings wildly at him. As Ralph pulls Naufel off him, the man's perspective goes dark. Now, a twitchy black-and-white fly scurries along the ground in total darkness. Its wings flutter and it crawls all around, exploring an unseen space. The fly pauses briefly before taking off. It buzzes all around this blank expanse. In black and white, a fly lands on a patch of fur underneath a goat's eye. The goat's ear swats the fly away as it grazes along a narrow, wooded road. The goat looks up the road and steps out. The fly rests on one of its pointed horns. The fly sits perfectly still as the goat moves into the road. In color, blurry pipes hang against a high ceiling. The umbrella handle dangles through a broken window, rocking listlessly just inside. The hand lies motionless on its back on the floor of the vacant building. Skinny black legs crawl toward the hand and its flattened palm. The bulbous red eyes of a fly look between its fingertips. Now, Naufel slides his hand along a wall as he walks toward the workshop. He wears the gold watch on his right wrist and rubs his head wearily.
Gigi?
Inside, the workshop and office stand vacant.
Gigi?
Naufel steps into the office. He has a black eye and tape on his glasses. Two aspirin tablets, a glass of water, and a diagram sit on the desk in front of him above numbered sticky notes. As a tablet dissolves in the water, Naufel studies a sticky note. Later, he drinks the concoction as he walks past the bandsaw in the workshop. Naufel sets the glass down and lifts a thick piece of lumber onto the table. As he measures and marks the wood, he swats at a fly, causing a stray pencil mark. Elsewhere, the hand twitches on the floor of the vacant building. In a black and white flashback, the fly lands on a window and young Naufel gapes at it. He slides his right hand across a wooden shelf. In the workshop, the fly rests on the window as Naufel works. He yawns as he turns a knob on the bandsaw. The thin vertical blade whirs to life. In the vacant building, the hand crawls over a piece of broken glass, then moves around several other shards on the floor. At the saw, Naufel grimaces as he tries to feed wood into the saw. He puts on ear protectors and continues working. Elsewhere, at night, the hand moves quickly along a rooftop. In the shop, Naufel blows a cloud of sawdust away as he cuts a board. The fly lands on the next piece, and he swats it away as the saw still runs. Outdoors, the hand climbs the embedded ladder. Naufel slaps the frame of the bandsaw, trying to catch the fly. He moves around, his left hand close to the blade. The fly climbs on top of the frame. Naufel follows, balancing a hand dangerously close to the saw. Outside, the hand rests on the skylight of his room. The hand gingerly lifts it open. In the shop, Naufel peeks around the frame. He squints his bruised eye and slowly extends a hand. The fly climbs from the top of the bandsaw frame and moves down along the side in a straight line. Naufel's right hand extends as he raises it carefully. The fly flutters, then rubs its front legs. Naufel strikes, closing a fist around the fly. His watch band catches in the teeth of the saw. Blood splatters, and he watches with a horrified expression as the saw tears into his wrist. In Naufel's room, the hand crawls across the floor. It grabs onto the bedsheets and climbs up. Naufel's glasses sit on the bed as he sleeps. The hand crawls into bed and up toward the pillow. It stops next to Naufel's head as he rolls over, revealing a bandage over his right wrist and forearm. In a flashback, the saw runs as Naufel grabs his lifeless hand from the bandsaw table. Drops of blood sprinkle on a pile of lumber as Naufel's hand falls to the floor, followed by his glasses. As blood pools around it, the fly emerges from between the fingers of the still clenched fist. It flutters its wings and flies off. Now, in Naufel's room, the hand crawls level with Naufel's face. It flips over so the palm faces up and the wrist lines up with Naufel's forearm. Naufel sleeps and the fingers draw in slowly. In a flashback, young Naufel's hand emerges from sand, cradling the clamshell. On the pillow, his bandaged forearm inches up toward the severed hand. Now Fell slumbers heavily, his lips gently moving. In a flashback, young Naufel lies on the beach, looking out at his outstretched palm. In his loft, the forearm and hand move closer. On the beach, sand runs softly through Naufel's fingers and off his palm. In bed, Naufel moves his arm down. The fingertips curl up slightly as Naufel cradles his bandaged limb with his other hand. In black and white, young Naufel's right hand pushes open a door. Inside, his mother plays the cello. Her fingers work the neck expertly as the bow moves swiftly across the strings. Naufel holds his microphone up as she plays with her eyes closed. She turns and opens her eyes. Now awake, he listens to the recording in bed.
Come here, darling.
Stop!
Come here.
Now he listens to a tape of his dad playing the guitar. A cigar between his nose and upper lip falls.
My mustache.
His severed hand sits under the bed. Naufel stares at the ceiling as the recorder continues to play. In a flashback, he rides in the car with his parents.
What is... Seriously, you're still recording?
Last time you'd promised we'd go to the cocktail party after the concert, but we didn't, so now I'm recording.
The concert ended very late and you had school the next morning.
But this time I won't have school, so now you have to promise.
If your mother misses any notes...
I do sometimes.
All right, so if she misses even more notes, she'll have fewer encores. And fewer encores means...
Watch the road.
So, are we going?
Okay, I promise.
Promise what?
We'll go to the cocktail party.
First, let's make it in time for the concert.
Young Naufel lowers his microphone. The car hits a bump, and Naufel turns toward the window curiously. In his bed, Naufel blinks, looking off to the side as he listens. Young Naufel stretches his arm through the car's window, holding the microphone into the air. Dark trees zip by as they drive along the quiet road. He looks out intently and adjusts the headphones on his ears. Naufel's head leans out the window as he points the microphone at the tires.
Naufel! Naufel!
What?
Don't lean out of the car! Pull your hand back in!
Watch out!
As his dad swerves, the car hits the goat standing in the road. Glass shatters as the car flips onto its roof and slides. Naufel's body slams into the front seats. Under the bed, the hand sits reverently still. Stars in a clear sky shine through the skylight.
Come here, darling.
The next day, Naufel rebandages his wrist and forearm. His hand watches from beneath a piece of furniture.
Naufel, I just came back from the hospital. I know you're here. Please answer.
The hand turns from the locked door to Naufel, who stares off.
I filled out the papers from the accident. You just need to sign them.
Naufel leans forward in his chair.
Come on, open the door.
The hand curls up sadly.
Okay. If you need anything...
Naufel continues wrapping the bandage around his arm. Later, the hand crawls out from under the bed as Naufel packs his suitcase. He straightens and looks to the skylight. Later, the door opens and Gabrielle slowly steps inside. She looks around the vacant room. Sheets lie folded at the end of the bed. A book sits on top. Gabrielle walks by bare hangers in the closet and over to the bed. She sets her backpack down and sits on the bed. She eyes the book and finds it to be her copy of The World According to Garp. Later, Gabrielle lies on the bed reading. Above her, moonlight shines through the skylight as a snowflake falls from the sky. It sticks to the window when another falls behind it, followed by a third. Later, a pile of snow edges the window as Gabrielle sleeps. As more snow falls, the hand crawls out and looks up at the skylight. Gabrielle's hand twitches as she stirs. She blinks, then looks into the adjacent kitchen. A skillet and several boxes sit atop a cabinet. The cabinet door sits ajar. She walks over and opens it. Inside the cabinet sits an igloo made of sugar cubes. As Gabrielle opens the doors wider, the hand backs behind a stack of plates. She peers curiously through the entrance to the igloo, then turns to the side and walks away. The hand crawls out and stands by the igloo. Outside later, boots tread carefully over the snow as Gabrielle walks toward Naufel's igloo on the roof. Pure, untouched snow blankets the rooftop and entryway of the igloo. She kneels down to see their beer bottles on a wire spindle table inside. She rises, looking out as a gust of wind blows snow all around. Gabrielle blinks, then raises her brow. She turns and pulls her coat up toward her face as she walks toward the idle construction crane. She crosses the roof, walking toward the edge closest to the crane. Looking down, she sees a dizzying drop from the high ledge. The arm of the crane sits extended parallel to the roof's edge and several feet away. Naufel's headphones, tape recorder, and microphone sit in the snow against the ledge. Gabrielle picks them up. She looks down curiously at the recorder, then brushes snow from the cassette chamber. She puts the headphones over her ears and drops the microphone. The young woman presses the play button, then rewind. She turns again toward the crane and looks up, framed against the pale gray sky. The hand peeks out as Gabrielle presses play. She watches as the tape spins.
Come here, Doc.
Gabrielle fast forwards the tape.
So, are we going?
Okay, I promise.
Promise what?
We'll go to the cocktail party. First, let's make it in time for the cocktail.
The night before, Naufel stands and presses the record button. He wears a jacket and the tape recorder hangs from his left shoulder. Gabrielle furrows her brow as she listens to the tape. Naufel steps in front of an empty beer bottle and up onto a short barrier at the roof's edge. The microphone cable slides through his fingers as he lets it dangle over the roof. He swings the microphone from side to side. Gabrielle squints, then looks out with wide eyes. Naufel whips the microphone around before catching it. He hops backwards onto the roof, knocking the beer bottle away. Gabrielle watches the sound meter, then looks at the overturned beer bottle in the snow. Naufel stashes the recording equipment beneath the barrier, then grabs a wooden plank. He sets it on the barrier and lines it up with the crane. A view from below shows the plank's tip peeking over the edge. Naufel stands behind his crude ramp, staring at a platform on the crane. Gabrielle holds a hand to her ear and turns worriedly. With his recorder under the ramp, Naufel steps back carefully. Gabrielle sits in the snow and brings a hand to her ear again. Naufel's intense breath forms small clouds against the night sky. The hand curls in the snow as Gabrielle holds her finger over the play button. Naufel sprints up the ramp. Gabrielle turns and looks out worriedly. The crane gets closer as Naufel flies through the air and lands on the platform. His momentum throws him against a railing on the opposite side. He blinks and pushes the glasses up on his face. He presses on the railing and looks out happily.
Woo-hoo!
The sound meter peaks and Gabrielle smiles.
Woo!
Naufel rests his arms on the platform's railing, his chest rising and falling with his heavy breaths. He pushes off the rail with his left hand and looks back to the vacant building with a satisfied smile. He spins back around, leaning on the rail and looking off into the distance. Naufel sits down on the platform, then lies on his back. He looks up and smiles. Flakes of snow begin to fall from above as he lies there, looking up at the arm of the crane. The snow falls slowly in large flakes from a midnight blue sky. In daylight, the levels on the recorder peter out and Gabrielle takes off the headphones. She smiles peacefully as she looks toward the empty platform on the crane. The previous night, Naufel lies on the platform and blinks. He looks down at the right sleeve of his jacket. The cuff hangs off the platform as it blows in the wind. On the vacant roof, his hand sits motionless in the snow. At the beach, young Naufel reaches out and blocks the sun with his right hand. He makes a ring with his thumb and index finger for the sun to shine through. On the snowy rooftop, the severed hand slowly crawls backward. At the beach, he uses his right hand to push himself up into a seated position and look out contentedly. On the construction crane's platform, Naufel sits up and looks hopefully toward the horizon. The next day, his lonely hand trudges across the snow-covered roof. Young Naufel stands and runs down the beach, extending his arms like an airplane. In the sand next to his towel sits an imprint of his right hand. At night, Naufel sits hanging his arms over the platform's railing. He looks out over the tops of the surrounding buildings. As snow continues to fall around him, he looks up at his breath in the air. Cut to black. Audio description by Deluxe, written by Matt Dierman, voiced by Nicole Zanzarella. A Jeremy Clapon film. Produced by Marc Dupont-Davis. Adaptation and dialogue, Jeremy Clapon and Guillaume Laurent. Based on the work Happy Hand by Guillaume Laurent. Original score by Dan Levy. With the voices of Hakim Faris as Naufel, Victoire Dubois as Gabrielle, Patrick Dasumsau as Gigi. Alphonse Arfi as young Naufel, Hichem Mezba as the father, Myriam Lucif as the mother. Graphics design by Jeremy Clapon. Additional graphics research by Jocelyn Charles. Storyboard and animation, Jeremy Clapon, Quentin Rubrecht, Julien Bissaro, Maëlys Valade, Loïc Espouche. 3D supervisor, Pierre Ducos. Animation director, David Nasser. 2D animation, Mathieu Chaptel. Set director, Forcy Tessier. Chief decorator, Jeffrey Magellan. Head of compositing, David Sez. Chief editor, Benjamin Massoubre. Sound designer, Manuel Druglazé. Sound editor, Anne-Sophie Coste. Mixer, Jérôme Wisiak. Production executives, Camille Wiplier, Lucy Bowles. Credits roll. Copyright 2019 Zlom Animation, Auvergne-Rhône-Alpes Cinema.
Red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.